It's Thursday, December 2nd. I'm Oscar Ramirez from the Daily Dive podcast in Los Angeles, and this is Reopening America. The cost of getting some professional degrees are leaving students with high debt and without the high salaries to match. Programs for veterinarians, dentists, chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, and even optometry are producing graduates with high debt and very modest beginning salaries. Beyond the debt, it's also hurting those very occupations in some areas as graduates avoid lower-paying rural areas, which can cause shortages. Andrea Fuller, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, joins us for a look at how the cost of professional degrees are still hurting students. Thanks for joining us, Andrea.
Thanks for having me.
Interesting article you wrote. Professional degrees leave students with high debt, but without high salaries. We recently spoke to one of your other colleagues at the Journal when they were talking about law degrees in particular, but now we're talking about other professional degrees, things like veterinary medicine, we're looking at chiropractic medicine, physical therapy, optometry could be looped into all of this. And the metric really is that the high debt ratio to income levels 2 years after graduating just is not matching up in a lot of these different fields. So Andrea, help us walk through some of this. What are we seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll say we've been covering student debt really intensively for the past year. And one of the things that I noticed as we wrote about high debt graduate degrees like film and social work, people would say, oh, the debt, sure, it's manageable if you're a dentist, because then you're going to go be a dentist and you'll make a lot of money and you'll be fine. But actually, that's not necessarily the case. And some of these people with professional degrees are borrowing astronomical amounts of money. We're talking $500,000. To become a dentist or a veterinarian. And while their salaries are higher than the average American, they're not making enough to really cover the interest on this, because these loans, you're paying on grad plus loans, often 6-7% interest. So you see cases where people owe $20,000 a year in interest, and it can quickly get out of control.
You mentioned grad plus. Explain that a little bit, because this is a program that lets students cover their school costs and living expenses. And I think that's important, because if you're rolling everything into these loans, that's where these high prices are really coming from.
Absolutely. So Grad Plus is just a name for a government loan program. But what it means essentially is graduate students through this program can borrow up to the cost of attendance of college, including books, fees, living expenses, et cetera. And so no matter how high colleges set prices, students can borrow in grad plus what they owe. And that is how we have the situation of people having $500,000 in federal loans. Tuition has risen at all levels of education, but including veterinary schools and dentistry schools. We have some numbers in our story that show the average debt load has increased really dramatically over the last 20 years, certainly faster than salaries. And sort of a rule of thumb is don't borrow more than you owe. And even if a dentist is earning nationally, the median salary for dentists is around $164,000, I believe. And that is still far, far lower than what people in these programs are actually borrowing.
And then what happens after that? You know, after a period of about 20 to 25 years, if the balance can't be repaid, this gets shifted onto taxpayers through federal loan forgiveness. So that can be an issue. And then for these industries themselves, the other thing is that if a student has this high debt, they're going to go where the highest paying job is. A lot of time that takes them to other places, and it could leave these gaps in services in certain areas, certain rural areas, where they could be short of dentists, could be short of veterinarians and other health providers. And so it could create these gaps in services also. That could be another problem that's happening.
Absolutely. There are far-ranging consequences of this. If you have $400,000 in veterinary school debt, it's really hard to make that choice to go be a rural veterinarian. Most of these people that we talk to are on what are called income-driven repayment plans. So the government lets you make payments according to your income. And that's ultimately very beneficial for the students in the short term. The problem is in the long term, their balances will grow because they're not covering the interest. And so you end up in these situations where you can get your debt forgiven after 20, 25 years, but you're going to owe this huge tax bill on your debt forgiveness. So we're dealing with a situation where there are really long-term consequences for the students. There are long-term consequences for these professions, including, you know, a lack of rural dentists and veterinarians. And then there are long-term consequences for taxpayers. We've written in our reporting throughout the year that Grad Plus was thought to be a moneymaker for the, you know, the government. People could borrow money and they'd all pay it back because they're going to grad school, right? So they're going to be wealthy and they'll all pay it off. But my colleague Josh Mitchell has written about how the federal government's lending program is actually potentially facing a budget hole because people are actually not paying off what they're borrowing.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the people you profiled in the story. Sarah is one who finished her veterinary studies at University of Pennsylvania with about $400,000 in student debt. And this is, I guess, an extra $30,000 from loans from prior studies also. So she has $430,000 worth of debt. She is working as an associate veterinarian for about $100,000 a year. But I think in the end of the story, the debt came out, I guess, overall, she would have had $700,000 total because of accumulating interest. I mean, that is insane amounts of money.
It really is. And yeah, Sarah was using a calculator provided by a veterinary industry group that allows you to sort of project your student loans. And obviously, there are lots of unknowns. You don't know exactly at what your rate your salary is going to increase. It's hard to estimate all these things precisely. But the way it works is you pay 10% of your discretionary income on these income-driven repayment plans, and that doesn't cover the interest payments. The interest on these $400,000, $500,000 loans is so high that after years and years and years, you owe, or you can owe, far more than you started. So it's really psychologically daunting for a lot of people to be making payments, to be making substantial payments, and just see their balances grow and grow and grow.
To a lot of this stuff, you know, in all the previous reporting, it kind of holds true too. The school really matters as well. You made mention in the article for dentistry programs, University of Southern California in Los Angeles and New York University in New York City. In some cases, the median debt was more than four times as much as the median earnings that graduates were getting. NYU specifically with their dentist program, they say, you know, you could expect to pay $572,000 for its four-year program. This includes living expenses. So the schools do matter. And then in a contrast, there was another school out of North Carolina, which the program is geared to people who are going to stay in the area, in the state, and their debt is way lower.
Schools like NYU and USC are among the most expensive in the country. And one of the things that for dentistry and one of the things that we've been writing about this year is the sort of allure of these big name schools. We only have early career earnings data on the school level. And because, for example, in New York State, you have to do a residency for dentistry, it's not fully clear what their earnings are going to be. But again, nationally, the median pay of dentists is in the 160s. So we're not looking at astronomical median pay for dentists, but there, you know, certainly are higher paid dentists than that. And so with these schools, it can be very expensive. There's a premium to choosing it. And I think, you know, in terms of the state school in North Carolina, which is granted has, you know, is for in-state residents, but something like that is more manageable. And they're conscious of the fact that they want people to serve rural communities.
Yeah, that's East Carolina University. They only accept applicants from state residents, and their graduates carried a median debt of about $131,000, but their income, the median income, was about $120,000. So much, much more manageable on that front right there.
Still a little over one-to-one,
sure,
but much closer than a lot of these other dental programs. And certainly, you know, we haven't mentioned chiropractic yet, but those were the programs that had the worst debt loads generally compared to earnings. I mean, chiropractors were borrowing six, seven times their earnings.
And so what is being done to address the issue, help the issue, help the students? I know after, we said 20 to 25 years, there's the federal loan forgiveness. But as you mentioned, over the long term, that's not going to be untenable. So what are they trying to do? How do they remedy this?
That's a good question. I think political debate right now is very much about student loan forgiveness. and not so much about addressing these more systemic issues. I think that costs are continuing to climb, and I don't know if we have seen any evidence that that's going to change. Graduate programs are generally seen as revenue drivers, moneymakers for universities. Undergraduates from low-income backgrounds get heavy subsidies, but that's not really true at graduate school. And I think there's an assumption that, you know, if we keep raising costs on the dentists and the veterinarians and the lawyers, they're in these professional fields that make a lot of money, and so they'll be able to pay it off. And that isn't necessarily the case. Yeah. And so there really are lingering systemic issues out there.
Yeah, you mentioned another veterinary student who finished his work and everything. He typed his debt and his starting salary in his, one of these calculators, and it lit up red saying that he would be living below the poverty line, you know, and that's not something that you expect, as you mentioned, getting these graduate degrees and these programs. So yeah, just an interesting look at all of this and some great reporting from you and your colleagues on this whole thing. Because as I mentioned, we've been covering all this stuff too. It's pretty crazy, all this high student debt that we're seeing out there. Andrea Fuller, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me.
I'm Oscar Ramirez, and this has been Reopening America. Don't forget that for today's big news stories, you can check me out on the Daily Dive podcast every Monday through Friday. So follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts.